Welcome back to Get With The Programming. I'm Chase Ingram.
I'm Captain America.
And along with me is Bill Grundler. Wolverine. Have kids, they said.
Have a couple.
Have while you're at it. All but 20 minutes ago, I got a call from my son's school that says he has a fever and you need to come pick him up immediately. And I told him, I was like, I have a podcast to do, lady. I'm just kidding. I didn't say that. I was like, I'll be right there.
Is that he has a fever for more cowbell or what?
My only cure. I wish I could do a Christopher Walken voice, but I cannot. I cannot. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Get With The Programming. It is the moment you've all been waiting for since week one and probably week two and definitely after week three, as we are here to analyze the programming of the 2024 CrossFit Games Open. 15 minutes late. But my son is,
Hey, man, flexibility.
Unknown and unknowable.
Whenever something gets fucked up, you just stamp that on and go like, what? We're good.
Is that the judging equivalent of, the uncommon movement clause?
Totally.
I don't like that.
Uncommon movement clause. Unknown and unknowable.
Easy, Christopher. We're not there yet. And capitalize the F, bro. Damn.
Yeah, seriously.
Come on. We're going to go through event by event, walk through the things we always tend to walk through when we analyze the programming. We look at the time duration, the stimulus, the movements used, the movement patterns, the intent behind it. And then we typically look at this from a view of what is possible with the programming in a ideal athlete scenario, whatever the mythological creature that is the CrossFit athlete that we look at .com with, or we look at the games with, or we look at, right? But at the same time, we do still have to filter it through the lens, and we talked about this yesterday, of the purpose of the competition itself. So we'll analyze programming different for the Open. We'll analyze it differently for quarterfinals, for semifinals, for the CrossFit Games, for Wadapalooza, to Rogue Invitational. There is a reason behind each competition, which we'll go into post our analyze the programming of
the mission statement.
The mission statement.
Developing the mission statement of
developing.
I got a question. I mean, I think we generally have a pretty loose, but well understood reasoning or the why for the Open, the original Open. We all know cast the widest net, all of those kind of things.
Right.
But I think honestly, this was the first year that we actually had some sort of outlining from Dave of what the Open was going to be, how what needed to happen for it to be programmed.
Okay.
And there's a couple things that I saw. One was no taping on the ground, and there weren't going to be any floor planned, which I thought was...
Which he
that
did.
That determines, that changes a lot of what happens.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing was that he would be able to take anyone from off the street and teach them in 10 minutes to do the workout.
Okay.
So it's got to be simple movements to get someone who doesn't know CrossFit to be able to do it.
Right.
And then the last thing that I saw was the creativity wasn't going to be what made the Open cool. It was going to be the intensity is what made the Open cool.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden we have those three things, of which we never really had before.
Not laid out in front of us that clearly is always, I mean, it's always speculation, but.
Right.
Oh, yes. Bill, did you make it?
General fitness stuff, right?
Did you make quarterfinals, Bill?
Yes, I did.
I did as well. Congratulations to everybody that is advancing on. I looked at my percentage because I still look at it's taking the top 25% to quarterfinals. I was like, but did I make old quarterfinals? And I'm in the 90th percentile. I was like, whew.
Oh.
Whew. Would have had to redo some work. I mean, it's a little late to redo, but I don't think I'd be physically capable of redoing any workout after I had done it just because of how I felt after each one.
Dude, I was fine after all of them, but my legs were sore yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Like it crept in yesterday. It was that post 24 hours.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, I don't feel bad at all. My legs are a little tight, but it's fine. Dude, the end of the day yesterday, oh man, I felt it.
Yeah. It was, I felt every bit of every week. But we'll go through that too. But let's start off with, and this isn't necessarily mission statement, but you touched on the few things that Dave alluded to is what really his purpose was, the purpose driven of what the open is, right? So we'll lay that foundation first, obviously explain what we're going to next. It's quarterfinals, right? The mission statement of the open is to qualify the top 25% to quarterfinals.
Yeah, sort of.
It's that's not the mission statement. That is what its end purpose is, but at the same time, it's much more expanded on that. So for you, based off really what Dave had come out with, is how are you looking at the open when it pertains to programming as we look towards quarterfinals and especially how are we going to analyze it going forward?
Yeah, I think that generally speaking, because it's the widest net, because of the little caveats that Dave put on there, that it can't be specialized. You can't see like specialistic type things. I'm glad there wasn't a one rep max.
Yes,
we've had so many times because that would be against what we're trying to do. And I think the wider the net, the more middle of the road fitness level you need to kind of look at. So if you look at a workout that has a bell curve on it,
right?
You should be aiming for that programming to push that middle pack. So it's not overly heavy, which like the elites, the high end will be able to move the weight the way they need to. It will be challenging for the middle and it will be tough for the bottom end. It shouldn't be that every single person that competes can do the movement or the lift or the certain skill or whatever it is.
Right.
But the general group should be able to have, at least an ability to play.
Okay.
And I mean, the more, and I say that we say this all the time, and this is really weird because I don't even know if we necessarily have. It's kind of like what's porn. We know what it is, but it's hard to really define exactly what it is, you know?
Okay.
But classic CrossFit.
Yeah.
This should be like the most classic CrossFit because it's the most GPP.
Okay.
The most well-rounded, no high end on either end, but smack dab right in the middle with everything.
Okay.
That's I like how I look at it.
Other things we'll do is we'll look at event by event in a vacuum. But at the end of the day, we have to look at the totality of the test that is the open, right? So we'll go event by event, the total overall test, and we'll go from there. So without further ado, let's just get in it. So
do it.
Hit this. Oh, I hope this comes through okay. I decided to make my own graphics for the show. All right, 24.1. Four time. 21 dumbbell snatches on one arm, 21 lateral burpees, 21 snatches on the other arm, 21 lateral burpees. Perform that same routine through 15s and through 9s. 50-pound dumbbell for the men, 35-pound dumbbell for the women. We'll just go through the open division scales and skills and things like that, even though we know there's a cascade of different things for the scale division foundations and age groups. And when this first came out, I was just like, That's a week one open workout if I've ever seen one. And if you've seen something similar, right? Remember the first time we saw the dumbbell, which was what, 2017? Mm. For 17.1, which was dumbbell snatches and burpee box jump overs.
Yep.
And I was like, All right, dumbbell snatches and burpees again. This is a good one. We don't have a box. We're not taping lines. So what we're going to do? Well, Bill called it. We're going to do lateral burpees over the dumbbell.
Yeah. This was classic burner. You have your and this is like the I think the perfect event to put on that bell curve I was talking about. Your high ends were very low. They were down in the 5, 6, 7, 8s down at the bottom there. Then you have your middle group that were between that 10 to 12.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had the upper end that were either up towards the 13, 14, 15 or getting capped at that side. But it allowed everyone easy movement. Like it wasn't heavy enough that you had to have perfect snatch technique to get the dumbbell from the ground up overhead. And a burpee is a classic. Everyone can fall to the ground and get back up again.
Right.
So it was simple, but it was effective. It was potent. it ramped everybody up, and dude, this was like a gong to start the open up. I was so excited. I'm like, we made it. We're back.
Yeah.
We did it, everybody.
Mission. Welcome. What is it? Is that old George Bush mission accomplished?
Oh my gosh. Dude, it was great. They knocked it out of the park with this one, I think.
They 100%. Did. It was great. And I mean, we even said so much as like, I hope everybody will do this. And we said badge of honor, because to put yourself in whatever place and position you wanted to with intensity, time dependent, not necessarily, but as far as relative intensity. I mean, you talked earlier about what Dave was saying about intensity being a really important focus of what is going to drive the importance of the open when it comes to the actual programming itself. And I was like, wow, that sounds a lot like CrossFit to me.
Yeah.
Where we're just chasing intensity. And remember, intensity isn't bash your head against the wall, Fran intensity that you apply to every workout you do, right? We've said this before. It's relative intensity to the individual, and it's relative intensity to the workout that you're doing. So for example, when we look at 24.2, we're not saying take 24.1 intensity into 24.2. Nobody did that. People went fast. But nobody was sitting on a row. Like if you took 24.1 intensity to 24.2, you're going to be rowing at like a sub 140, 135 pace on the rower each round. Imagine nobody was doing that. Well, some people tried and it didn't work. Jason,
right? Totally.
We saw that. Right? Yeah. And so that's the relativeness goes to the individual and to the workout itself. With this 24.1, as we look at what was a part of this, is we look at a few certain things, not always this cut and dry, but this is a big driver of how we approach programming from a basic level, right? We're doing a very macro view of the programming. The time domain, 6 to 8 minutes for your top athletes. I think that's fair. 6 to 8 minutes, so it's a shorter time domain. The volume of work, moderate, 180 total reps, even though it was smashed into that time frame, it was still a good number of reps. And I feel like we all felt that volume at the intensity, right? Like, oh, 90 dumbbell snatches, 90 burpees over the dumbbell. What's the big deal? I was like, the intensity of which I did that. I was doing Fran intensity with double the reps.
Right.
Okay. It's a moderate. The weight was light. The scheme was a couplet, meaning just two movements in that. And the modalities that we had between three categories, weightlifting, monostructural, and gymnastics, were obviously weightlifting and gymnastics with the burpees themselves. Movement patterns. This is a small part of the piece of the puzzle that we'll get to, is the burpee. We have three distinct movements that we'll go through. And I put where basically the plane would be in some of these things. So there is a hinge component of the burpee. When you press up off the floor, you hyperextend traditionally at the lower back in that hinge position as you bend over to the floor and you get up off the floor, right? It's not a weighted hinge, but it's still a hinge pattern coming from the prone position, which is just laying face down on the floor. You have the press, which is just pushing up from the floor again in that prone position. And Wad Zombie, I'm afraid to look at my DMs. I've been seeing some of your posts lately, but I will. I will look. And then you have a jump. And that's the movement pattern that we have in the gymnastics movement. That is the burpee. On the dumbbell snatch, we have a hinge on a vertical position. We're taking weight from the floor, from that vertical plane. We're pulling through the middle of the movement. And to lock out and extend your arms, you press out the dumbbell to do that. And I think if anybody hit that maximum fatigue towards the end, that lockout became less and less easy, at least for me. I was like, I'm going to fail a 50-pound dumbbell.
It was hard, dude.
Yeah, it was hard. And so
moving at speed was tough. God, that was hard.
Right? And so this is a little bit of an overall macro view of 24.1. How do you see things? Is this
that's all in perfect line with that? I think we're looking at obviously the high end athletes, the higher end athletes for this. And I think we normally do that. We don't go to the middle because that's kind of where you're gauging it anyway, is the high end. It might be interesting for us to kind of look at the programming maybe later, maybe as we kind of get into the mission statement, because that's going to kind of be the why.
I think looking at it from two different angles of athletic capability is an important part of this when we close things out. So I'm totally with you.
But for right here, this is exactly what it was. God, dude, it was so good.
It was so good.
It was so good. I loved every bit of it.
Yeah, me as well. All right, that was 24.1. We move to 24.2. 24.2, AMRAP in 20 minutes, 300-meter row, 10 deadlifts at 185 and 125, 50 double unders, churn and burn and cycle through that as many times as you can in that 20 minutes. Now, I'll say if you want to, is just looking at this one in a bubble by itself as an open workout as if nothing else exists in the world. And when I see this, and especially after I did it, I was like, damn, that was a good open workout.
I in a bubble without any other things
around. We'll expand.
If we haven't filled in the other holes or whatever, it's fine. It still seems odd to me that we have done in the open 225, 155 for the deadlifts. I don't know why we didn't have that here. And so in a bubble, I still think that the deadlifts were lighter than they needed to be.
Analyze it by itself. I am with you, because as someone who does not enjoy deadlifting at all, I was like, man, these are really light. Right. And as I got through it, I was like, there's nothing really holding me back. There's a sticking point. Maybe your pace on the row and your endurance is a sticking point. Okay, I see that as part of this for a larger demographic. But even at the pace you need to go at an elite level to get 10, maybe 11 rounds, like you're holding a very uncomfortable pace for an extended period of time. When you look at the double unders, being able to keep your focus, keep that light monostructural skill going, not missing, be able to sustain, again, some stamina endurance with the bounding and the rope and its shoulder stamina from another point of view. And then I look at the deadlift and I don't see the same thing there relative to the other two.
Right. And I, you know, we threw around the idea kind of, you know, offline about, okay, well, what if you just increase the number of deadlifts and make it more of a stimulus there to be able to get that? And I just feel that if you did that, it's almost like you're replicating, you get off the rower and go right to another basic row with a lighter weight. I mean, it used to be that if you didn't have a rower in the old days, the scale to not having a rower was lightweight sumo deadlift high pull. Mm-hmm. So here we are basically doing a lighter weight deadlift. You're not having to pull it up all the way, but it's almost the same type of thing.
Right.
So I do a pull right into another pool. It's like,
right.
It didn't matter. I don't feel it did what it was supposed to do. It didn't break it up really, because the tempo for most was about the same. You know, the rhythm that you were pulling and the intensity that you had to use on that. There wasn't a neurological different stimulus at all. Mm-hmm. I think it missed there. I like the workout.
Yep.
But I think that was a missed piece. Mm-hmm. By itself, if we're looking at a bubble, I have other options once we get into the whole thing progresses. But I like the fact that there were double unders in there, and I like the number of double unders. It was just enough every single round to where the people that were good at them could utilize that. But if you were bad at it, it wouldn't take you 3 minutes necessarily, unless you were doing like singles, mm-hmm. singles of double unders.
Yeah.
You didn't have to be super, super good at double unders to still be able to get through the 50. And continue on the round.
Oh, I'm going to call you Liddy. I don't hate you, because you have no idea what you're talking about. Chase is going to hate me. I erased it twice, but CrossFit defines everything. Okay. The definition of weightlifting is two lifts, snatch and clean and jerk. Wall balls and dumbbells are not that. All right.
No.
Actually, based off what you're saying, allow us to help you so you don't have to publicly embarrass yourself like this. CrossFit does define everything. And CrossFit has defined weightlifting as moving an external object.
Load. Yeah.
Right? Moving an external load. That is CrossFit's definition of weightlifting. So I'll just say it nice and quietly and calm to you. But you are so far off I feel like I'm in Billy Madison, where at no point in time in your aimless rambling did you ever address the question, and we are all dumber from listening. You know, God have mercy on your soul. So do yourself a favor. Go back to the CrossFit level one. See what CrossFit actually defined weightlifting by. And thank you for putting that in the chat so everyone else could get an education along with you.
But it is important to know.
It is important to know.
It is important. And so for like that weightlifting part, yeah, it was there, but it was so light of a weightlifting. And I'm talking even in reps. Light
true.
In weight, light in reps.
Right. And so like as we expand more on 24.2, longer time domain, very high volume in repetitions, partly like because of the way we counted the meters, 30 reps, one for every 10 meters, double unders, obviously going to cycle through that. But, you know, you do nine rounds and like ripping off 80 to 90 to 100 deadlifts at any weight is still high volume, right? So we have that high volume part. The weight is light for the demographic that we're looking at, which is what is possible with this particular event. The scheme is a triplet, and then we have weightlifting and monostructural. And so when we look at this, there's a couple things I want to touch on specifically to this by itself, relative to the other movements of their impact on the workout itself at the highest level. Deadlift at 185 doesn't really match up with the other two as far as their impact on the workout and their difficulty to do at a specific pace you need to hold to get a lot of rounds to stay competitive, at a specific stamina to keep the double unders cycling and not breaking like I did towards the end of the workout. The deadlift weight doesn't match that. 225, 155, as you said earlier, probably would have been a better weight to make all of these a bit more even as far as challenge and difficulty. But even something as much as when we start to bring in, say, 24.1 and knowing what we have ahead in 24.3, is this might have been a good time to put in, I don't know, like a hang power clean. If we are going to change this minimally, right? Is all right. So if we want to do something, it's like, all right, well, let's pull out the thing and not to get to skip to the end, but dumbbell snatch, take it from the floor, one movement overhead, skipping through the middle. All right. If you put in a hang power clean here, you're doing all the middle part that you skipped in week one. And you don't even have to make it that heavy, right? 10 hang power cleans, right? And then if you look towards week three, we did the opposite of everything that we haven't done yet. We did a full range of motion squat to a press. So a snatch, a hang power clean, and a thruster covers a lot of movement patterns with a barbell or a weight itself that expands pretty much as much range of motion as you can get in three different potential ways.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts being on something like that versus a heavier deadlift on the table still, but okay, let's bring in something like that. And we know it's not going to be front squats because of what right. we had. And we do wall balls make it too much of a big boy workout. And they're already getting that with the row. We don't want to double it up twice, even though I guess shorter athletes
they
maybe had two.
Could have week. That
they could have.
The first and the last event were both.
Right. But we still have thrusters. So I don't want to go wall ball to thruster. I mean, we had problems with that when right. it was 5 weeks, let alone back to back weeks.
I think what I like about it, even though it's hinging, you know, we talked about that a lot. And I know you'll probably have that up on your thing here. They're easy movements. So I think in the context of what we have between the first workout and then this one,
yeah,
knowing what's coming up at the end, we definitely should have used this workout,
right,
this event, to increase the weight on the deadlifts. Keep it 10, but every round the weight goes up. Right?
10,
every two rounds the weight goes up.
Oh.
So that's that like 14-3 we did the deadlift and the box jumps.
Uh-huh.
Same type of deal, 135, 185, 225, 275, 315. It makes its way up that way.
Yeah.
Then you are getting your long time domain.
Mm-hmm.
You are getting your heavy weights in there. I think that even though this is only a 3-week competition, we need to have something heavy. The right. heaviest thing we did was 185. And so we missed, I think that was a big miss. And here was an opportunity that we had to do that in a way that would have worked for everyone. I mean, the elite level athletes could have gone big. It would have been great to see what kind of stuff they're pulling and how that would have affected their deadlifts and everything. The other end of the bell curve athletes. Okay. Well, now they're having to really work through some heavy weight. It's not all about, do they have just the double unders? Cause everybody, whether you're the most elite athlete in the world or you're rowing a 147, and if you're not even close to that, you're rowing a 157.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like the row didn't really mean anything either, other depending on that. So I think this was an opportunity where we could have used weight and we didn't do it. Now, if we would have changed the movement, we could have gone overhead. I would have been fine with, you were talking push press.
I said shoulder overhead. To overhead at 135 and 95 is an option. I know we have thrusters in week three, so I'm really, really trying not to like double up for the sake of, oh yeah, it's just obviously shoulder overhead or obviously okay, front squats at 115 and 85.
Then I would say the weight.
Yeah, I would say
increased weight.
I do like this one that Juana just said is toes to bar would have worked really nicely. And I actually really do agree in lieu of a deadlift or maybe replace the double unders.
Well, then that if it was that
or
then, well, see if you did that then that would be you'd still
see now we're changing a lot. Yeah, right? we still need to wait somewhere. I agree.
So I think not changing any of the movement patterns.
It does work well just because of the two hinging movements from an extension standpoint, and now you have a flexion anterior one. I do like that combo. So
what I don't want is that we go. Too off the rails in the beginning for the first event, and then basically a lightweight body weight again on the second one.
Yeah,
like there's got to be some weight somewhere. I mean, we talk about those are on the top end of our 10 physical traits. Uh-huh. You have to have strength. You have to have explosiveness. You have to have power. Like you can't have that if you're not lifting something with some sort of weight.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking that it has to be that we're snatching 275. I'm talking that we need to move some weight, though. We've done it so many times in the open. In every single time we've done it, we've said that those are some of the best events that we've ever had in the open.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on, I'm just going, now we're just brain trusting this this thing is, we've done rounds where it goes up, but we've never done time.
Where you decrease the time?
No. Every 5 minutes, we add weight to the bar. So 0 to 5, it's 185.
Oh,
5 to 10,
the strategy would be go faster so you have the lighter weight.
Yeah. We've never done that before. We've done rounds, but how neat, what an interesting wrinkle that would have been. All right, it's like, oh, what do you do if you're in the middle of deadlift sets, like when the time hits, and it's very easy. If the bar comes off before the check marker, you get those reps, just like getting a lift. But I always thought that would be a unique twist on that elevating weight. So instead of like every two rounds you add weight, which is about right? 8 rounds was, I think, a good baseline goal of success, regardless of who you are, like from the base level. Right. Hey, if you're brand new, if you can get 8 plus rounds, that's where I would start. Like, okay, we need to get you to 8 is our training. And then once we're at 8, then we'll see where we can go there. So I think 8 rounds there. So every 2 rounds, you could add a weight. But even then, that still falls in line with every 5 minutes. So do I go hard in the beginning when I have less weight? How's that going to affect me when I get more weight? I just think it'd be an interesting wrinkle to throw out there.
No, that would be fun. That would be really, really interesting.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy about this one is they
60
found
seconds
out.
Left and you're just trying to sprint. Me on the row with 1 minute left, just sprinting my ass off to get to the 185 for one more round.
It would definitely change the way you move at different stages in that 20 minutes.
Yeah.
You would definitely be changing your tempo. What was interesting about the way the workout was set up now is, and we're talking on the high end athletes, where you won or lost this was on transitions.
Yes.
And that shouldn't, and we don't want to have, I don't think that we ever want to have a workout
right
where that's where you win or lose.
Especially at the top, right? It's like, okay, everybody had that V set up with the rower and the barbell right. with the rope in the middle. And, I, you know, with mine, it's like I realized my transitions were very slow and I probably lost easy 45 seconds to a minute over the course of 20, just transitioning steadily. And you're right. Like, the transitions shouldn't be the deal breaker or the make or break for an event.
Right. And I just wanted to answer this real fast. I know that I get kind of called out on the weight thing. I'm not as bad as John Young. I do feel one of the things that drew me into CrossFit way back when was not how heavy you can lift, like a one rep max stuff, which was what everybody did. You know, what's your bench, what's your squat, whatever.
Yeah.
But it's moving large loads, long distances quickly. Like, that is a mantra of CrossFit. So when Bill is complaining about how heavy or not heavy a particular workout is, it's because I'm trying to see how that fits in. Not every workout needs to be heavy. Like, Cindy doesn't need to be heavy. That's body weight. I'm good to go. The first one wasn't heavy. I was good to go. But over the course of three events here, we haven't had any weight. You can't tell me that 185 and 125 is remotely heavy for the masses of CrossFitters that are out there doing this.
Right.
I'm not talking about the first timers. I'm not talking about that are on the low end of the bell curve. I'm talking about 20% and up. It wasn't the deadlift that did anything to anybody. So in the full scheme of things, we do need to have some weight element in there. And I think that me evaluating on this is that I just want to see that in there somewhere. It doesn't have to be in every single workout,
yeah,
but it needs to be in there. Because that's part of that's for a nice, well-rounded program. That's what I'm saying.
I also think
opportunity to have it.
If you say you just did 225 and 155, like those that had like to work for 185, I still think 225 can be doable. Plus, we just did it the year before.
Right.
Right. So it's not uncommon. It's 100 reps from last year. You get in 10 rounds. It's the same number. So there's some transferability from year to year. And 225 is going to slow everybody down enough right. to where it's not just a transition game for the elites. For the elites. All right. A couple things I wanted to touch on here is similarities and differences between 24.1 and 24.2 and what's fair and not fair. And how some people reacted versus how others reacted, which were both, I could see, like negative and didn't think about it enough, is that, okay, 24.1, if you just look at movement patterns, we said, okay, it's hinging, pulling, and jumping, right? So you look at 24.2, and you have an extra movement in here, but you just see a lot of hinging, pulling, and jumping in this with a leg drive on the row. If you wanted to, this is almost like inflating numbers a little bit, is if you wanted to just go, well, those are the same movement patterns, therefore it's the same workout. Like, I believe that is an unfair statement. You can draw attention to the fact is like, yes, we're pulling from the floor again. Okay. Yes, the row is just a deadlift in a horizontal plane. You know, okay. And jumping, all right, we did jumping and we did burpees. Like, okay, yes, there are those similarities. I will say, outside of those similarities, these workouts are not the same. Like, what I went through, and I'll just say from my own personal experience, what happened to me in 24.1 and 24.2 are different worlds. And as I said in the beginning, if you took the intensity of 24.1 and just laid it in 24.2 and then try to keep going, like that's not it, right? They're not the same when it comes to the majority of what this workout really is and what you're trying to accomplish in this and how you become successful. Because how you become successful in 24.1, grip it and rip it and just keep hopping on your burpees and just go as fast as you can until the wheels come off. Hopefully you're done before they do. That's 24.1. It's like a car wreck. 24.2, it's like, okay, I have to pace my row because essentially I want to pace a row of what I would be doing for 20 minutes. So a lot of people said maybe your 5K pace, which is not a bad thing to look at for just a row. Like, there is a pacing element there. Then there was the transition game, right? That was a quick part. Deadlifts were deadlifts. Just don't do them poorly. But it's more of a placeholder than anything for the elite side. And then on the double unders, you couldn't just scream out like a bat out of hell because you're going to trip by going too fast or be out of control. So there was more of an element of control and transitions and endurance in 24.2 that we did not have at all in 24.1.
Just because we'll put it this way, because I love when people talk about doing the exact same movement.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you're a swimmer, Chase.
Yeah.
So you swim 1,000 meters one day straight, and then the next day you swim 200 meters.
Right.
How dare you do the same movement?
Exactly.
How dare you? Like, those are two totally different workouts.
And that's what we did. What I did in swimming was, we're going to swim 7,000 meters in the morning practice and 7,000 meters in the evening practice. This was peak training, but this is the distances I swam. And you're right. The morning, say, I'll give you a Monday, for example. I still remember this because I'm traumatized by it, but we would have like a freestyle training session and then a specialty stroke training session with a break in between. So we'd do a warm up and then say in my peak distance for what I trained is just say it's a 2,500 meter swim steady. That was Mondays. Yep. Then you had a break, a new warm up, and then you had a 2,000 stroke full set of just steady, consistent pace. And then the evening you came and I still had the same distance to go. We still did the same warm up, but my evening 2,500 meters for my freestyle session ended up being 5x500 meters on a certain pace. I still swam freestyle. I still did 2,500 meters, but the racing or the training that I did, it was broken up in a much different way. So to exactly your point, I just wanted to expand on the details.
Well, and Dave actually said he answered that question, I think, really, really well. You know, just because the gross motor pattern is similar doesn't mean you're getting the same stimulus. And I think that stimulus part is what's really, really important. Granted, we want to try to hit all the pieces, but it's really difficult. If you are trying to bring the technical element of the movements down a bit so that anybody off the street can do it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Where you're kind of relegated to just a handful of movements for the most part.
Right.
And that being said, you know, there's a week between these workouts.
True.
So it's not like you're going back to back. It's not like you're being, slammed from, you know, deadlifts to snatches to rowing, right, all in the same thing. It's not the same thing. Mm-hmm. The other thing is this. I mean, like, okay, you can say that you technically are hinging on a burpee, but like you're falling down.
Right.
So, so it really doesn't count. The jumping, I mean, yeah, okay, it's jumping technically, but to me, that's not really a jump. The jump, I mean, I know people fail that they hit the things because they're tired. I get all that. They hit the dumbbell.
Mm-hmm.
But jumping to me would be either box jumps or like your double unders. Like, that's jumping.
As someone who was going to miss the jump over the dumbbell, I would like to motion for fine. There is jumping involved with it.
I know when you get totally fatigued, like picking your nose, you probably would have missed that too.
I mean, let's
all broken down.
What I don't want to do is like what it's like versus what it is. It is 100% a jump involved with a burpee, just like burpees are a gymnastics movement, not a monostructural movement.
Okay, fine.
I don't want to get too gray here.
I'll say this, though. The hinge on the snatch generally is a much sloppier hinge.
Yeah. I mean, it's one-sided. On you twist as you do it. Yeah.
What you see on the row and what you see on the deadlift. So you have a higher volume, I would say overall, even with people that were less experienced, much better positioning, much better movement pattern than on the dumbbell. The dumbbell, everyone was just like, it was a grip and rip.
Oh yeah. No respect for positioning on that dumbbell.
None. So, I mean, I get it. But to me, even with that, that wasn't the miss where the weight was the miss.
I
think that for me anyway.
No, and I think that's the one big thing in there that you can really sit back and be like, we don't want to change too much. Obviously, when we analyze or we We do our reprogramming of a specific season, which I guess we could do here too. But it's how do we change this as minimally as possible to make a constructive argument of why this version probably would have been a better choice versus the other one.
Are you in agreement with different weight?
I am. I think 225 and 155.
Okay, so you want solid weight the whole time rather than an increase in weight?
Yes, for what the someone who mentions this earlier, and they were right to a certain extent, was this time domain and movements chosen were to offset entirely what happened in 24.1 as far as stimulus. Okay. Not movement pattern stimulus, because obviously we do have a lot of redundancy here, but the fire breathing intensity we had in 24.1, this was the aerobic conditioning longer version, just using movement patterns. So like, instead of saying do a 20-minute row for distance, we're just adding a couple movement patterns in there to elicit the same type of
totally
aerobic training or aerobic testing, I should say.
I would have been fine with the deadlifts at that weight minimum. Mm-hmm. My choice would be I would want it to increase. I mean, just pick the 14.3. The
sure, yeah. If we went like what I would like to, I don't disagree. But I'm also, it's like the same thing as wall balls would have been great, but we're doing thrusters in week three. Ascending weights would have been awesome, but we ascended weights in week three.
I hear you.
So if we just like you're 225, 155, I think we would have accomplished the same task, tested people a little bit more, right? Just to step up more. No one's really getting ousted. Some people will be.
That would have been so much better.
God, that would have sucked.
That would have been so much better.
I mean, it would have been better. Yes. But God, that would have sucked. That would have sucked so bad. Sucks so bad. But okay. So I look at week one and week two, and now I look at a picture. I was like, okay, like Dave said, very low skill demanded movements in the first 2 weeks, save double unders, which are just tricky. They're not necessarily a physical skill. It's more of a pure definition of a skill that just takes practice versus training. Right. All the back strength work and conditioning in the world isn't going to make you better at double unders. The same reason why it doesn't make you at throwing darts or bowling a bowling ball. You have to practice that said skill of just spinning a rope twice after you bounce in the air. Alyssa, I would say the burpee is more of a jump than a double under is. What say you there? There's no jumping involved in double unders.
Technically, in double unders, it's only bounding.
Bouncing. But yeah, so okay, but after the first 2 weeks, I feel like we all kind of sat back and we're listening to what Dave said in the early description of how he looked at the open. I was like, okay, this is checking a lot of boxes. I can kind of see where we're going. Did you feel the same way?
I heard what he said.
Yeah.
I was like, oh shit, we have too many boxes to fill now. And I honestly was really concerned. Yeah. I felt like this one missed it because of the weight.
Okay.
But now that you
saw what it's going to be, where you're like, okay, everybody's going to get to play and we just got to go hard if we want to win at the top or have the most success at the top. That's kind of where I saw it going. I'm like, okay, I see what we're doing here. Right? We're letting everybody play. We're not really, you know, for the majority. And yeah. the third week will be something very similar, which really played into my hand of what I thought week three was going to be.
Yeah, actually seeing that and trying to do my best John Young and accept it meant that I thought that the end was going to be, all right, it's going to be something watered down.
Well, yeah, I think both of our versions were watered down weight skill wise, but we made up with that with volume.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So, all right, let's move on to week three. 24.3. 5 rounds, 10 thrusters at 95 and 65, 10 chest to bar pull-ups, rest 1 minute. Into 5 rounds, 7 thrusters at 135 and 95, 7 bar muscle-ups. right off the bat, the weights were great because you had 95 and 65 and 135 and 95. And at the reps you were doing and the rounds that you had, you nailed the weights. I'll even say this. You nailed the skill for the volume at which you had to match up with those individual couplets as well.
Okay. I think that the weights were perfect.
All right. Let's go bubble. We're bubbling. Bubbling. 24.3 bubble. Bubble huddle.
Love it. Bubble. Love
Everybody's
it.
Everybody's in the bubble. Trust tree. I look at this workout, this open workout, and I'm like, this is one of the better ones I've seen over the last 14 years for a final week open workout.
I loved it. Loved it.
We said yesterday, old school vibes of the good old days of the open, of which everybody wants.
It was this one, in a bubble. You're right. It's fucking amazing because it did everything it was supposed to do to every single person that did it.
Yep.
It wasn't a transition workout. It was like, I mean, there was strategy to this one way more than there was on 24.1. I mean, 24.1, the strategy was like go fast as you can and hope to hang on.
Yeah.
But this one, I loved the strategy and how close you had to fly to the sun, man.
Yep.
Because if you picked the wrong one, it was over.
Yes.
It was over. And like your wings melted.
Yes.
I loved it.
Thanks for playing, Liddy.
Delicious. Yeah.
Thanks for playing along. I said it calmly. You've been a great sport. But that you were an important sacrifice for the podcast today. So I appreciate you and your questions. Now, on the flip side of what we're saying, when I look at week one and week two, and I see this one, I was like, oh, hard left.
Right, dude.
Hard left. This is nothing like the first 2 weeks of the Open. This was not what I thought we were trending towards when we were trying to predict what the programming was going to be. And when I look, it's like, okay. So when I say, and the reason why is like, okay, I look at 24.1, I see light dumbbells and burpees of the dumbbell. Everyone can do that. And I say for the majority, I'm not just speaking plain. Okay, where the intensity of that you can go, your strength and stamina and speed and all those wonderful things, like is how we're going to attack this workout. I look at 24.2, rowing. Everyone can do that. And then I look at light deadlifts for 10 reps. Even if it's moderately heavy for you, it's still only 10 reps. You can do it. And the double under is like, yep, we got a skill that's going to trip you up, but you know, well, you work your way through it. No one's really getting railroaded there. I was like, okay. So what am I going to project for 24.3? Is like, oh, I think it's going to be thrusters and some gymnastics, right? Well, I don't want to out anybody too much. So I'm going to say lighter thrusters or wall balls. I think it was part of yours.
Yeah.
And we haven't had any ascending things yet. So maybe we'll ascend the gymnastics. We've seen the last 2 years, maybe three, where it was a toes to bar, chest to bar, bar muscle up, ascending gymnastics in week three. We've had a chin over bar, chest to bar, bar muscle up in week three. I was like, all right. So I was like, okay, how about a toes to bar, chin over bar, chest to bar? Right? Something easy, something a little harder, but still doable for more people than a chest to bar, and then throw chest to bar at the end. We'll up the volume so everybody gets a little test towards the end. We'll have some more roadblocks in there. It is week three. We've got to add something here. But then I was like, oh, chest to bar pull-ups. Oh, bar muscle. I was like, damn. All right. We went old school. I just thought it was a hard left of, yeah, everybody come on in. And then week three was like, stop right there.
Yeah, dude, they all got velvet roped.
Yeah.
You know, as much as I loved the workout, I loved the event. I loved everything about it, but it didn't fit with what was happening before. And that these are the types of things that make me really, like, the more and more I talk about it, the more and more I get emphatic about, like, dude, I can't wait till we come up with the mission statement so we can give it to CrossFit.
Yeah.
Because obviously they aren't doing it. I think that they could have done the exact same thing, just as you were saying with building, whether, you know, we did it with, you know, wall balls, or with thrusters, the same exact setup, but do it to where you go pull-ups first. I mean, that's the first skill. Let everybody work to get their first pull-up. Okay, cool. We got that. Okay, then chest to bar.
Mm-hmm.
And then go to bar muscle-up from there. I really feel, even though we have done in the past, like, yeah, we've done 3 chest to bar, 3 thrusters, 6 and 6, 9 and 9. We've done those. So it's not like chest to bar is not an unreal thing.
No.
But we made a big concerted effort to say, these are going to be easier for everyone and involving, you know, we can, you know, throw the widest net and we can go and pick someone off the street. All of those things were thrown out there. So where did this come from?
Yeah.
This one. And I think that, you know, when you compare it, it doesn't fit. And then all of a sudden, I this is where I get lost in the with the programming. We have the open programming. We have, yeah, the scaled, we have the foundations, not that we're going to talk about those, but they're there. So since they're there, this programming should be absolutely appropriate. You,
yep,
know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that we should bring the bar down on the other ones because we want to invite everybody, we want to be inclusive. Like, it's like you got to go one way or the other, I think. Mm. I think if you confuse everybody, if you get them, oh, cool, we're all in, cool, we all get to play. Oh shit, I can only do 10 thrusters, I guess, in this workout.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. We're not saying chest to bar was a surprise. We're just saying we thought there'd be one thing ahead of it.
Before that, totally.
We've had that the last 2 years. You guys got to remember, we are talking about the 3-week open. The open of old is gone. This fit right in with that. And the thing is, like, this, we're saying that this doesn't fit the other two.
Of this year. Right.
We're not.
It fits in the open, man.
Like, it fits in the open. This is a great. We just said this is a great open workout. Great.
Yeah.
Right. Now, if I had some heavier weights in 24.2,
then it'd be perfect.
Then I was like, yeah, all right, we're building. And then we get here, we're like, yep, we were building to this. And it was like steady boom.
Yeah.
And this is nothing out of the ordinary. This is actually fantastically classic when it comes to the open. Yes, chest over pull-ups are traditionally always in the open.
Yeah.
The last 3 weeks is different. But you know what this one looks like? Is that this one looks a lot like, I was going to pull this up. Kind of how last year went. When you think about the final workout there, right? You had wall walks, double unders, snatches twice, and then it jumped to strict handstand pushups after that. So very close to week one there. But, you know, week two was, what was it, week two? What did we have? We had the shuttle runs and burpee pull-ups.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Burpee pull-ups, chin over bar, not chest to bar. Yeah, we had muscle-ups in 23.1, but that was at the very end of the workout that very few people got there. That was just an ascending difficulty. But you know what we had in week one? We had toes to bar.
In the pull-ups that we had this year, jumping pull-ups, 23. They're burpee pull-ups.
True. Jumping pull-ups, which obviously makes them easier. So, you know, we had toes to bar.
Put that in there.
I figured toes to bar were probably harder than a jumping pull-up.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, that would have been a great place to put toes. Anything, a step, I think, again, I love the workout. I love everything about it. Mm-hmm. For the whole open of this year, it needed one step before those chest to bar. One.
Here.
Pick it.
22.3. Jumping pull-ups,
toes to bar, whatever you want. I love this one, too.
21 pull-ups, chin over bar. 18, chest to bar. Bar muscle-ups to the end with ascending weights. Wonderful. That's in a 3-week open. Right? We've had that. That's 2022.
Yep.
Okay. And again, this workout is a great workout.
It's so good. Okay, so let me ask you this then. Go ahead. And go through the specs on this.
All right, so here's some of the more details on 24.3. Time domain, still short, 8 to 10 minutes. All right, we have short, and then we have like sprint. So there is something south of 5, that's sprint category. This is still short. 10 to 15, 10 to 18, that's that moderate range. Volume is moderate, 170. Now, the reason why I put moderate versus, I put moderate in week one too, but 10 reps less than the 180 that we did in week one. It's a moderate scheme, especially the weights that we had and the volume and breaking them up in the sets that they did. The weight light for the first, moderate for the second. I mean, yes, anybody's like, you get to those 7, though people may make it look easy, like 135 and 95 at the time at which you're doing those loads. Like, that's a moderate light weight. Scheme, it's a couplet. There's 2 of them. So it's an interval format.
Right.
Right. Mini chipper, block 1, block 2, different weights, different movements. You're not repeating the same thing. So mini chipper couplet. And the modalities that we're working with is weightlifting with the barbell and gymnastics with the chest bar and the bar muscle ups. Movement patterns, thrusters, squat and a press, all in the vertical plane, straight down, straight up, chest bar pull-ups, pulling in the vertical plane, bar muscle-ups, pulling in the vertical plane. All right. 4 different movements, obviously one's the same with different weights, so those still elicit a different stimulus than the previous one at less reps in a higher weight and more reps at a lighter weight. But just to go back to what we had here, again, I love this workout. I was just surprised to not see one more above this with even a lighter weight and a lower skill and work your way towards the end, because we had similar intensity, right? Especially look at the top athletes. It was hang on to the bar, hang on to the rig, and just go as fast as you can with a little break in between. But the intensity was still there, not quite as just as 24.1, but very close for those top times.
If I look at 24.1 and 24.3 and I take 24.2 out, to me, like I'm looking at like, oh man, dude, that is a kick ass open. It's got everything. It's got flash and dash. It's got excitement. It's got these people flying in the air. It's got opportunities for people to get their first whatever. It's got all the things. And then if those went, if it was 24.1, 24.2 was this, 24.3, and then we had what's left, I'd be like, oh man, okay, you know it's going to be long. It's going to be long. Now we're waiting for some weight. To me, that's the other reason why I feel like the original 24.2 should have some weight, because if you look at it, you flip these two around, that's the hole that seems to be missing.
Okay.
You got the length, got the time frame. And then again, if it was 225, 155, I'd be like,
for 24.2.
They fucking nailed it. I would like it to go heavier. I like the increase. I think that's fun. But you're right. They increase it here. So that's fine. I'm good with that. If they were to do that 225, 155, because that would have been like the 1 to 10 to 1 deadlift burpee.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've done that.
Yeah.
We've done the 225 on the Diane and then the Diane plus one. So we've done that. We've done that weight. Mm-hmm. That would have been fantastic. One weight change would have changed the entire open, I think.
Keep the order the same?
Everybody can do it.
Yeah.
It's super easy and calm for everyone too. Holy shit, they fucking nailed it.
Yeah. I think keeping the order, adding the weight would be that little, like you said, warning shot of we're getting progressively more challenging as the weeks are going to continue on. Yeah. But again, this workout by itself, fantastic. Open workout, fantastic. Chest to bar is a common movement and one everybody 100%. Should be training and inspiring to get to because the open is coming. And we said this yesterday when we talked about doing the open to help improve your training throughout the year. I don't have chest to bar pull-ups. I don't want to feel like this again. All right, you've got a year. What do you need to do to get these next year? We are not saying they should not be in the open at all.
No.
But I'm looking at the track record that we've had for the last couple of years, specifically to a week three workout. And in 21 and 22, it's been a progressive one of week 21. It was toes to bar, chest to bar, bar muscle ups. In 2022, it was chin over bar, chest to bar, bar muscle ups. And then 2023, it was a handstand push up inverted version of that. But we skipped over kipping, which, hey, if we don't want to do kipping anymore, fine.
Right.
Fine by me. Right. Huh. But it was like wall walk to strict handstand push-up. I was like, damn, that's quite a jump. I would say that is way more of a jump than maybe this. It was like a lower bar, but a bigger jump.
Yeah.
Right? No, like chest to bar, bar muscle-up, okay. Bar muscle-up is more difficult. Yeah. It's more technically challenging than it is a chest to bar pull-up. When I look at like wall walk, strict handstand push-up, I was like, oh,
There's a lot of people that can do wall walks that can barely bend their arms to do any handstand push-up.
I like this one more than I did last year's week three.
I did too. Yeah. I almost feel like in the last year's was fine. I liked it. It was a good workout.
Yeah.
It almost seemed more gimmicky than this one seems, again, very classic.
Yeah.
Very, very classic.
Yeah. Victoria, is it possible that the weight wasn't heavier in 24.2 because they wanted people to think that they could move faster and that they should go get a good score? I don't think it's ever centered around getting a good score. I do think they lowered the weight so more people could do it and keep that like stimulus that wouldn't really be affected for the upper echelon athletes. But I don't think it's ever of like worrying about people's scores, but maybe the intent. So if you think about maybe the stimulus that they wanted is just someone to round robin cycle for 20 minutes straight and not get slammed down by the weight, except for those that it could be challenging for. I do, but I don't think it ever centers around score itself. But that's a good question.
That's a good question. I think that's there. That element is there, and sure they tested it to see what it would look like.
Oh, for sure they tested these things.
But again, it ended up being insignificant.
The weight.
This that whole
for 24.2.
If you were to take it out, it would almost be the same.
Oh, like just take the deadlift out.
If you took the whole deadlift out. Just I think the workout would basically be, I think it would be about the same.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I didn't slow down the rowing so that I could make sure I could do the deadlifts.
Yes, true. Right. Like the row pace might have slowed down because you got tired.
I didn't pace the deadlift so that I could get my double unders.
True.
I rowed to where I could hold whatever pace I had to where I was okay enough to do my double unders. I never want me, and granted, that's me, but right. There were a lot of people that were basically that same way. If the double unders were anything, it was because they rowed too fast and they used the deadlift. They rowed too fast and they needed to have the time on the deadlift to rest themselves, to recover themselves from rowing too hard.
Yeah. But that's... Week three, what we had here, movement patterns, like I said, squat to a press, pulling. Like we filled in a lot of holes in the programming. Right? We thought, it's like, listen, we got to get below parallel. We have had very little pressing outside of burpees off the floor. We had no vertical pressing. And we needed to hang from a pull-up bar. So we got all the things that we needed.
Here's something.
Yes.
What if everyone was talking about hinging, hinging, pulling, jumping. So take the third event and put it right in the middle. Whatever. Do you think anyone would be talking about it at that point and be like, oh my gosh, all we're doing is the same exact movement pattern. We're just hinging again, hinging, jumping, pulling again.
Yeah, okay. Let me think about that for 1 second, but I did want to bring up something funny. It's really
odd. I like ending on this one. I do.
Okay.
I'm not saying that, but still.
It would be weird to end on something long, just out of tradition. That's not necessarily bad. The order, yes, would help because we're breaking it up.
Yep.
And I think it would help way more. But I think this is it's either Meme Wad or Meme for Time guy. And he was talking about, he's making a meme, but he actually made a great point. And it's, you think, the redundancy of the hinging and pulling and jumping. I was like, yet you redid the workout 2 times.
Right. Yeah.
In the same week. I was like, man, I know you're making jokes right now, but like, that's probably the best shut up.
Totally.
Like if you redid the workout if you redid it, period, like I don't think you can complain
about hinging. Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I'd be pissed too if I did week 1 3 times and then I had to go do week 2, but I only did it once and there was a week in between.
Yep.
Right. Now that doesn't excuse maybe the lack of creativity of movement patterns by themselves. We know they're still totally different stimuluses and workouts on their own. But if you looked at, like, say, if I gave you the test and it's like, hey, here are the 3 events overall, you're like, oh, why are we doing that? Can we just do something else here? Right. Because, and the reason I'll hear is like, well, it was a week apart. You guys do programming in your gym, you'll do the same thing a couple of days apart. I was like, yes, but that's in a 5 workout sample size for a month. That's different than say, we are going to test you with 3 things and 2 of the 3 are very similar as far as movement pattern stimulus of pulling from the floor and jumping and things like that. So when people say it's like, oh, it's a week apart, I'm like, that's not what we're saying. What we're saying is like you only have 3 tests. 3 events for the test, I should say. That's where people lose that argument. But I thought that was really funny that
that is really, really interesting. And then actually, I was just thinking about it now. I mean, if we would have put 24-2 first,
all
right, if we would have flipped it, I wouldn't have liked the order. I like the fast, long.
Yes.
Middle.
Yes.
I like that.
I do too.
I like it. I like the excitement of what was shown at the end where, I mean, there were big cheers the first week because of how exciting it was and everyone just burned the house down. And every single person that went was burning their house down. It was fucking great.
Yeah.
Everyone's still riding on that high, so you get to do the longer, slower, more boring one. Okay, cool. Everyone's still in there. And then everyone is cheering as they go out for the got the first chest to bar pull up or got the first weighted thruster at that weight or got their first bar muscle up and, got to have that carrot hanging out. So I really do like the order of how it goes.
Same
shit, man. Seriously. All I do one change,
just the weight,
one change. And I would have been fucking stoked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Dude, it's a lot. Like I'm realizing right now.
The more you talk it out after seeing it and doing it, we always have the knee jerk when we see it.
The problem is that it's one weight change. I'm not even willing.
I feel like that is going to upset you more than anything that was programmed.
It is, dude, because I'm realizing that that's almost one whole thumb pick on that one fucking weight.
Yeah.
And it's irritating the fuck out of me right now. Shit.
Oh dear. Oh dear.
Fuck.
Yeah. And I think that's when we get frustrated with certain things because like it was that easy. I mean, how much did we shit on Dubai? And we're like, all you had to change was like 3 little things that required this 1-hour-long conversation that we just had. Now it's after the fact, and we got to see it play out. I get it. Armchair quarterbacking is that's what we're doing. This is entertainment and education, but
yeah. No, Brock, there is no such thing as 205 deadlifts.
Yeah, Brock Besnett. You hear Bill? I'm with Bill. Why zombie? Hey, this is part of the fun of the open too. I'm going to bitch either way. It helps me cope with my own personal issues. Yeah. That's part of it too. That's part of the fun. I mean, everybody should be allowed to bitch.
I mean, think about it.
As long as you shut up and do it when it's 3, 2, 1 go time, though.
We go before the workout. We talk and bitch and guess about the clue that's given. And then we get the workout and we talk about it. We mull it over. We worry about it. We get concerned about it. We get scared about it. Then we actually do it. Then we say whether it was good, not good, whatever. But we all have our cuts and bruises off of it.
Yep.
And then we'll come back and talk about if we liked it, if we didn't like it. I mean, that's the thing. We're CrossFitters. We like things that are ridiculously painful.
Yeah.
That's what we do. We like that. And here we are just trying to make it appropriately painful. That's all.
All right. I have another avenue for you. Okay. You don't change the weight in this 24-2. So you keep those all the same. Let's look at what a slight tweak of 24.3 could have been to fall in line with kind of how week one and week two were programmed. I think a simple front end addition of, so say it's the same format. It's a couplet of a thruster and a gymnastics movement with a 1 minute break, followed by another one, followed by another one. I'm going to jump ahead of the round of 10. And I'm going to make my rep scheme 9-7-5. So 5 rounds of 9 and 9, because that's 45, which is also Fran.
Right.
Right. So we're keeping the Fran element of, say, 75 and 55 pound thrusters and toes to bar. Nines. All right. You take a minute rest, and then you have 5 rounds of 7 of the 95 and 65 with the chest to bar pull-ups. Same thing, less reps, more opportunities to advance because of the volume. Not the changing the skill, not changing the weight. Minute rest, and then 5 rounds of 5 of 135 and bar muscle-ups. So 9-7-5. It's also Amanda rep schemes, pulling in a lot of things. But you got your 5 rounds of 9, which is 45 and 45. That's your Fran number. We saw that happen earlier. And then you have your minute rest. And you have 5 rounds of 7 of the chest to bar and the 95 and 65 with a minute break. And then the 5 rounds of 5 at 135 in bar muscle-ups. And Barclay, I'm with you. I think that last round is then a blast. And then I feel like it fits what we were given in leading to. After 24-1 and 24-2 is like round one, guess what, guys? Everybody's in. You have 15 minutes, right? Don't change the time cap. You got 15 minutes, and can you get 5 rounds of 9 and 9? 45 thrusters at 75 and 55, 45 toes to bar. Go get it. Oh, you finish that in 5 minutes? You finish that in 6 minutes? You get a minute break. Now we're going 7 and 7. 95 and 65 chest to bar pull-ups. Classics, right? From the old days, as you were saying earlier. We've had that as a final couplet 3 times prior to this. Just those 2. Minute break. If you make it there, it's a 5 and 5. It's almost not even a punishment anymore. It's an opportunity. 5 there, 5 there. Let's freaking go. 135 and 95. Keep the 15-minute mark. And then here's the last kicker. We said the time frame, right, was what, 8 to 10 minutes?
Yeah.
For a lot of these. Let me try to pull this up.
Yeah, that would just with the reps.
Okay.
Increased reps. That
week
would
one, 6 to 8 minutes. Both were short. Both were at 180 to 170. Okay. You increase the total volume of reps to like 220. I'm just off the top of my head. I know that's not right, but it's north of 200. So it's different than week one. You increase the time range to probably 10 to 12 minutes. So now we hit a moderate time frame to go in between the short we had in week one, the long we had in week two, with more volume at a escalating weight in gymnastics one with a 10 to 12 minute time range with a volume that's a moderate volume. And I didn't touch the other two, and I just tapped a little tap tappy. I know I'm doing way too many.
I'm way too many. Gilmore.
Yeah,
tap it in. Just tap.
My son loves that movie. I don't know if it's bad that there's nothing really inherently bad in that movie. And if anything bad was coming up, like I just covered it. Or I'll do this. Like if we're watching, say we watch Jurassic Park and the T-Rex is about to eat the lawyer. I'll just be like, Dylan. And I'll go, what? And then it'll happen. I'm like, never mind.
Nice.
You know, 210. Oh, hey, not bad. Thank you, Barkley. I can always count on you. Dang. I was close. 10 off.
That is pretty close.
How about that for not back of the napkin math? But there, a little tweak, Bill. And then I think it falls in line with what we had previously that everyone I think was expecting to come. Lighter to heavier, lower skill to higher skill. And I think when that hit, everyone's like, yeah, great. Let's do it. Instead of like, damn. Just a thought.
And I think that we assumed it would have been that anyway.
Right.
You know, I mean, we were assuming.
I mean, that's that basically based what on I had what programmed. We said.
Right. And I do like that. If we were going to leave one and two, I would much rather like that because it fits. It fits.
Right. So instead of bridging the gap like you did in week two by just bumping the weight a little bit, right? So you bridge that gap between 24.1 and 24.3. I just extended what we've been doing in 24.3 based off the first two.
Okay. I'm going to let you have that one. I agree with that one. Okay. I like that setup. Here's this will be my pushback. The reason I would say to not do that, but change the weight,
yeah,
is because we have a scaled division and we have a foundations division in the open, which allows for all of those types of movements and activities to happen if you don't have those movements and you don't want to be pushed to that level. We have those in there for a reason.
Yeah.
And so because of that, I think that it is wrong of us to bring everything down to meet everybody because we have the divisions to do that.
Right.
I think.
I agree
with what you're saying.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with what you're saying. I think that it would have fit the bill that we were expecting.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
What was said.
Right.
No, I hear you. I hear you. And I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm just stating it's not about wanting the open of old. It's looking at what is there and what we have put in place already. The scaled and the foundations are there for a reason. So I don't think we need to bring our bar down for inclusion purposes. This isn't about everyone. Everyone gets to do everything. It's like everyone can test everything.
Mm.
That's what we need to. We need to remember. All right. Is important. But either one of those. It's funny because again, one little change there,
right,
would make it work. One little change here would make it work.
Didn't change
the
equipment.
Which side of the line you want to go on? If you want to go, I want to go the hard old school or we're the new inclusive. They both work great. But once again, this gets us to where, okay, but what are we trying to do?
Mm-hmm.
What is the why? Not of just the program, but of the whole setup, which would be great when we actually get into that part.
True.
Dude, it was so easy. They're fixed it. God dang it.
They're fixed it. All right. Overall.
Oh, no.
Overall. Are we going to look at it from the elite and then the majority? How do you want to look at this?
Well, it's not programmed for the elites, right?
No.
That's what we were told.
Okay, so should we look at it based off what it was programmed for? Because we would be basically going out of the scope of the purpose and of the programming if we just focus on the elites, which is verbatim what we were told is the open.
I hate that he said that.
There's
only a handful of statements that CrossFit has made that have like hit me right to my soul.
That hurts you so bad.
Shows capacity was one.
Oh, okay. How many? All right. Keep going.
And then that one. You know what? The open is not programmed for the elites. Oh, damn it. Ah.
If you had a third, I was going to say rank them. Or what is it? F, Mary, kill. Those three.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That's funny.
Show capacity was probably the worst one of all time.
Yep.
Actually, no. The show capacity was the worst one of all time.
100%.
Showed capacity. I was like, nah, they got it.
I say this. I say, let's do.
I think it's well, only fair it on to judge it for what it was meant to be.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we're just like, it's out. It's against what we do, right? Which is do our best to take an objective view of what the purpose was and did the programming match that purpose. So at the end of the day, that's where we rest a lot of the things that we judge the programming off of. That's why we spend so much time in the beginning of what was the point, what was the purpose? Because I was like, I'll tell you right now, if we said for the elites, we're like, no, down. Right. Or you get a hat, you get 3/4. Because workout 1 was fantastic, and then workout 2. So maybe it's actually better. Shoot, is it? It's just the second one.
Yep.
Interesting. So it's not as devastating of a way to look at it if you looked at 1 and 3. Like if you showed me 1 and 3, I'm like, ooh, what was the third one?
Right.
Right?
Yes, dude,
what was
exactly.
The third one? Okay, I went 2 for 3. All right, fuck it. I'll say the elites. I'll go. I usually do that when it's a little bit tougher to judge. You got 2 out of 3. All right. Yep. So what is that? 1 and a quarter.
Yeah.
1 and a quarter. If I was just focusing on the elites, you got 1 and a quarter thumbs up. However, I can't do a quarter. Look at that one goes back. This one does not. But I sliced this open on an oyster bed, so I don't have any tendons in that thumb.
Oh. Yeah.
Not that anybody needed to know that, but in case you're like, why are your thumbs doing that? It's like, I don't know, because this one doesn't have anything here anymore. All right, I give 1 and a quarter for the fun elite perspective. And then we'll get into like the other one.
Okay. No, I agree with you on that because I think that was 2 out of 3.
Oh, all right.
2 out of 3.
Okay. Now let's shift gears to the purpose of the open, which we were told by Dave is it's about chasing intensity and displaying that versus difficulty of movements and weights, and everybody will be able to do it. The majority, not everybody, but the majority will be able to play as we advance people to the next stage. I look at week one, I'm like, nailed it. Whatever that avenue you were going down, nailed it. I look at week two and I also say nailed it. I would have liked heavier weight, but you didn't need the heavier weight for the what you said you wanted the open to be and how you programmed it. I was like, all right, that checks out. After doing it, I'm like, I get it. All right. Everybody got to get in, get their feet wet, maybe swim around a little bit. Grab the buoy every once in a while, hang on the lane rope, and the lifeguard yells at you to stop doing that because stop hanging on the lane ropes. You're going to ruin them. Those things are expensive. And then week three, I go, ooh, we didn't do that. And I give it a 1 and a quarter.
I was going to say, so I'm like 2 out of 3.
2 out of 3.
You know what? No, I take, okay, you're doing 2 out of 3. Is that where you're going?
Yeah, I'm going 2 out of 3. Not to just be basic with it, but like, 2 out of 3.
I
Joanna, 2.25. No, this is out of 2 thumbs.
I'm going to go just a shade less.
Okay.
And the reason I say that is because...
Ooh, all right, go.
I still feel that the weight was not appropriate for the masses. I think that the weight on 2 was still too light, regardless. And then I think the skill... was too high to start at the end. So it wasn't that they missed one event at the end with that skill. I still think that it's just a shade off with that. With the mat, and I'm talking the masses, because I still think...
Yeah,
I guess I'm still hung up. I'm still hung up on the 185. Still hung up on it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say 1.15.
Okay. All right. Renata, you can't compare last year to this year because there was a max lift last year. So don't even like stress yourself about it. This is not even the same test, regardless of the programming, even though that's a part of the programming. Beach House. Yes. We made quarters and we will be doing them. All right. Question for you. Because you said less on the for this one for yeah. what we're judging it on. I have okay. I'm going to say this. I think if we look at the elite side, week two was less of a impact on the elite than week three was on the majority. Think about it. Okay. And I think this would go along with you giving it a little bit less. And this made me rethink what I'm doing at the moment.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You see what I'm saying? So like, if you look at the impact of how we're looking at it, we're like, hey, week two, it's too easy for the elite or whatever. It's like, yes, it came a transition game, but you still had to be fit as all get out to get north of 10 rounds, right?
Yep.
Yeah, it was a little lighter. Okay. But I would say week three versus what they wanted to do is actually a bigger
discrepancy
for the majority than it would be for the if we were looking at the elite version.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. I might drop mine a tick too then.
Look at us. Look at us being all similar.
I might drop mine a tick too. Actually, you know what I'll do? I'm going to give elite 1.5 and keep my 1.25 for the majority programming purposes. I'm going to bump mine up a little bit.
Okay.
Because it wasn't a complete missed program, right? Just because of what I'm saying. It's like, everyone still got to get tested. It just was churn and burn.
Well, so technically, wouldn't it be 1.3? If there was 2 out of 3?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. Okay. So mine is a 1.3 for the elites.
Okay. 1.3 for the elites.
And 1.25 for the regs.
All right.
That's where I'll go.
There we're at. I like it. Why is it so hard to see your percentile in the open? Use the CrossFit Games app and it will tell you right when you open it. Peyton. So based on the open programming, are y'all worried about quarters?
I'm always worried about it.
I will say this is that the quarterfinal is like the open. There's no pressure for the open programming because at the end of the day, I don't want to say that phrase.
There it is. That's the other one.
That's there you go. Third. There you go.
Well, it's only top 25% anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Yes. But quarterfinals is going to
drastic
be huge.
Drastic cut.
The focus and attention that's going to go in that programming cannot be understated, the importance of that. One, we'll go base level for the affiliates. 25% moving on. You got to make sure, and they've said these are going to be doable for classes. I'm like, okay, you better do that. And I don't want to say you better, but
own up to it.
Yeah, you better. But then on the elite side, now we're taking less people to semifinals, quote, / regionals than we've ever had in the history of the sport. There better be an appropriate filter for that too.
It's almost as big of a jump as it was for the age group.
Yeah.
When they went from the massive numbers to like 10.
Oh yeah.
What about 200 to like 10 or something like that?
True. Let me see this. Wad Zombie, you told me to analyze.
3 is fine.
You told me to check this. Wad Zombie told me to check my DMs. And he says, analyzing 42.3. You ready for this?
Dude, put that. You got to put that on it. That is so good.
Oh, my goodness.
My beard looks great.
Oh, that's why do I look like Duck Dynasty?
You look amazing in that picture.
These fucking kids in their back roll muscle ups.
You damn rock and roll.
It's about time you got some gray hair.
I'm only 422 years old in that picture.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, 42.3 is. We would add another 18 years to where we're at right now?
Oh, shit. So what does that make me? 42. All right, cool.
42. Yeah, of course. Of course. That was good, Wad Zombie. Well done. We'll have to post that. We'll post that. All right, guys. Thanks for joining us as we analyze the programming. Tomorrow, will be the open finale of Inside the Leaderboard. And I got to take a peek at it yesterday, and it will not disappoint. So join us tomorrow, 10:15 a.m. Pacific, 12:15 Central, as I believe some of the similar guests will be on the show tomorrow. Excellent. And it's going to be excellent. Excellent time. Thank you guys for joining us. Again, as always, we certainly appreciate your comments, your questions, and your engagement with the show. It means the world. Other than that, it would be just me and Bill talking in a vacuum. And I don't think we said this last episode, but we just had our four-year anniversary. And if you would have asked me, would have been in this position with this many people watching and commenting and sharing this journey with us, I would have said, you're crazy. I thought it would just be me and Bill on a cell phone talking to each other, not being able to see each other, to an empty house or an empty room. So you guys make this what it is, and we can't thank you guys enough. So Bill, happy four-year anniversary.
Happy fourth, dude.
Thank you guys for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow.